Every year we do this Christmas Eve service. Every year we celebrate Christmas. And many years I fear we might miss Jesus. There's a lot going on, isn't there? Most of you are hoping that this will end very quickly. There's things to be done this evening. I mean, you're here, you're the good Christians, right? But yet still, we seem to miss Jesus in the midst of all the Christmas presents and Christmas stockings and Christmas lights and Christmas trees and Christmas egg casserole tomorrow, all the different things that are going on. There's a lot of busyness, and there's a lot of religious busyness. There's just a lot that's happening, and so many things get in our way. Religion itself gets in our way. Success gets in our way. Familiarity with a Christmas story gets in our way sometimes. Pride, fear. All these things lead sometimes to no room for Jesus. I think about that great story that we started off with here as Luke tells the story of Joseph and Mary on this long journey to Bethlehem. They had to go to their hometown, and it says, there was no room for them in the inn. Now, those of you who are good scholars here are well aware there probably wasn't an inn. That's probably a mistranslation. It really means there's just no room. Maybe it's a guest room. We don't know. Joseph was going back to his family's home. There were people there that he knew. He would have stayed. They would have been a hospitable group of people, but there just wasn't much room, so little room that they had to grab a manger from the feeding area to put the child in. However you understand this story, the idea is this is a lonely, lowly birth. This was a big chance for whoever was in this home, the innkeeper, to see the Christ child born. And we read nothing of that. We read that there was no room. This innkeeper, this guest house, the people in the house, it seems that they missed Jesus. That story continues that angels came and they told the great news of the shepherds. Remember that? This first story of this innkeeper having no room, I think about that sometimes, just to back up for a second. I wonder if we are so busy. We're so busy with life that maybe during this Christmas there's no room. But the angels came and they spread the good news to these poor shepherds. These shepherds, these nobodies, they were probably taking care of the sheep that will one day be sacrificed to honor this king. And the shepherds got it. They went, but it says that once they went, they also went and they told all the inhabitants, maybe not all, but they made it very clear. And we don't hear anything about that part of the story, do we? The inhabitants of Jerusalem, where are they? Why aren't they in the story? Why aren't they visiting this child? And I can only imagine they too, just like the innkeeper, were just too busy with things, religious things, I'm sure, religious washings and rituals and things like that. So not just busy with the daily everything, but also busy with the religious things like us, perhaps. They also didn't have room for Jesus because of maybe religious activity. And speaking of religious activity, you remember the story of the Magi? They're traveling hundreds of miles to try to get to see the king of the Jews, and they show up at Herod's doorstep, and we'll get to Herod in just a second, but they ask, have you seen, you know about the star thing? And Herod goes to the religious leaders. These are the people who know everything, and he says, tell me something about this child. And they know exactly what they're talking about. Micah 5:2, they quote to him. In Bethlehem of Ephrathah, that's where the child is to be born. They had all the facts. They'd been following the scriptures. They knew the child was to be born. And yet, we read about the wise men going and finding this king of the Jews, but these religious leaders, nothing. I gotta wonder, it wasn't just busyness. It was deep religious knowledge. In fact, it was a righteousness that they had embraced for themselves. So much so that they didn't really need a savior. Remember, Jesus says he comes for the sick. And they weren't sick. They were just fine. In fact, if Jesus comes, and they've been waiting for this Messiah to come, if he comes, he'll mess everything up. We've got the rules. We know how it is. And we're seen as some kind of important people right now. Now we're going to have to deflect that glory to this king. So the religious elite of the time had no room for the one they were waiting for. Do we struggle with the same thing? Does religion get in our way sometimes? I mean, here we are. We're doing the religious thing in a Christian church, listening to glorious music and singing with our heart, I hope. And yet, sometimes we miss Jesus, maybe because of our pride, because of our righteousness. We've got it. They don't have it. We've got it. So I wonder if there's room in our hearts because of our pride. Speaking of pride, remember where the wise men came. They came to King Herod, and they were asking King Herod, where is the one who was born king of the Jews? And it says King Herod was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. And I can imagine so, because King Herod was known as the king of the Jews. And here are a group of people, confident leaders, astrologers, magi, commenting and saying, we want to see the child who's born king of the Jews. And he's thinking, I'm the king of the Jews. How dare we worship another? He was afraid of this upcoming king. This is the Herod who had most of his family killed just because he thought they might try to take the throne from him. His children. This is the Herod who signed a mandate that on the day of his death, whatever that would be, in his old age perhaps, that many other important loved leaders around Jerusalem would also be killed so he could guarantee there would be crying and wailing and mourning on the night of his death because he knew no one would be for him. This is King Herod who sent his soldiers into the villages to kill all the children under two. This is a Herod who's afraid of a new king. I was thinking about myself in that area too, maybe some of you. We're really happy to worship the child in the manger. But a king? A king? Someone who demands something of us? Who invites us into another kind of life? Expect something? Oh, Jesus, we know the way we're going to do things. We know what leads to happiness. We've got this mapped out. Don't tell us who we're supposed to be. And so King Herod missed a chance. He had no room for the king. Of course, there was a whole group of other people, the foreigners, the outsiders in the land, the Romans. There went out a decree, remember that? From Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. It's why Joseph and Mary are there in Bethlehem to begin with. This Caesar Augustus, his name is Octavian. He's the grandnephew of Julius Caesar. He was very well known and very venerable. In fact, he called himself Augustus, which means revered or venerable. He even took on another name, Pontifex Maximus, highest priest. He expected the people to worship him. Emperor worship became all the rage at this time. Some of these emperors even called themselves sons of God, divine kings. They were supposed to be worshiped. So the Romans, why did they miss out on this Jesus? They had their gods. They were good. We've got this. We worship Saturn, we worship the emperor, we're good. We don't need your gods. And of course, you're here, so you're not probably worshiping Saturn or any emperor, king, or president, but we have our problems too, don't we? We worship the gods of North America, nationalism, success, money, right? Prestige, fame, popularity. The important things, and they often get in the way of Jesus. And so the Romans, and maybe perhaps some of us, miss Jesus. There is no room. I was thinking of a final group that after Jesus had grown up, he went back to Nazareth, and it says that he was in the synagogue, and he said, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Basically, he was telling everybody, hey, I'm the guy Isaiah has prophesied about. And they looked at him and they said, isn't this Jesus? You remember him, right? This is Joseph, the carpenter's son. We know him. Who are you talking? Jesus, you're the guy? Like, we grew up with you. We went to high school with you. I remember you. You dated my sister. No, probably not. But, like, they knew him. They were friends. And I started thinking about this. They didn't see the Savior. They didn't see the King because of their familiarity. And I wonder, as we read Luke 2 tomorrow morning for the 900th time, if we're not so familiar with the story, so familiar with even the person of Jesus, that we miss out on what he's brought, on who he really is. And so we have no room for the King either. We don't need to miss Christmas, do we? We don't need to miss Christmas with ignorant preoccupation, jealous fear, prideful indifference, religious ritual, false gods, even contemptuous familiarity. We do miss Christmas sometimes, but we covenant not to do that anymore. This very night, O holy night, the night before Christmas, I hope you'll tell yourself and your family, we will not miss this Christmas. In the hustle and the bustle and the busyness and the religious and all the different things that are creeping in, that we will not miss this Jesus. Do you remember that song? Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for thy holy nativity. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Let me pray, and then let's sing that song. Father, thank you for sending your son, and I pray that this Christmas, in the midst of all the joys and the beautiful, heartfelt moments, I hope with family and true fun, that we would not miss Jesus the King. In your name we pray, amen.